Shrimaditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadantishva Padantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasani Gaur Bhaktivinoda
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare.
So, today we are, this evening, we are celebrating the appearance day of Sri Advaita Acharya, who, as we know, is one of the principal members of the Panchatattva. Srimad Bhagavatam, there's one shloka. Krishna Vayam Tusha Krishnam Shangupam Vishaparshadam Yagnai Sankirtan Kayari Shanti Yusavedasaha. It is stated that at the age of Kali, people with sufficient intelligence will worship the Lord, who is accompanied by his various associates, by the performance of the Harinam Sankirtan. So those associates of the Lord, the members of the Panchatattva. Whereas Krishna in previous ages appeared as the Supreme Lord personally, Swayam Bhagavan, the Lord appears in a disguised incarnation. Actually, Krishna is called Tri Yuga Avatar. Tri means three, and Yuga means the age, and Avatar means when the Lord descends from the spiritual world. So, Triyuga Avatar. Krishna is generally known as the Lord who appears in three yugas. He appears in Satya, Treta, and Dvapara. So someone may question, then, how do we accept that the Lord appears in the age of Kali? Well, there is reference in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam Shangupanga Shaparshadam. That same Lord who appeared previously in the Dvapara Yuga, in the blackish color like the monsoon cloud, Swayam Bhagavan, Krishna Shu Bhagavan Swayam, he appears in the age of Kali in a disguised way. He appears with his associates. He can be known because he's always chanting the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. So there are numerous references in the Vedic scripture to indicate that the Lord also appears in the Kali Yuga. But he does not appear as a direct incarnation. Why is that? Prabhupada explains in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that it is very common in Kali Yuga for everyone to want to imitate the Lord. There are so many Duryodhanarayan. Duryodhanarayan means poor god. Duridya means like beggar, like poor man. So Duryodhanarayan means the poor beggar gods. You can see them all over India. So many incarnations of the Lord walking around, struggling to get free from material existence. So no, God is always God. So, had the Lord appeared as a direct incarnation in the Kali Yuga, that would simply increase the cheating mentality in the human society. Because so many people would want to imitate Krishna. So therefore, the Lord appears in the hidden incarnation. He comes as a devotee. And he teaches the process of the Yuga Dharma by engaging in the chanting of the holy names. So much so that sometimes when Lord Chaitanya's associates would approach him and call him Vishnu, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would cover his ears. No, 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 don't you speak like that. So Prabhupada said, we should not disturb the Lord in his particular mood of the devotee incarnation in Kali Yuga. So, but then again, those who know Shastra, those who know the symptoms of a Mahapurusha, a great personality, Swayam Bhagavan, they can understand that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than the Supreme Personality of God. So,
in order to defeat or defute the Mayavadi philosophy that God is one energy, Brahman, the Lord appeared in five features, thereby displaying the variety of the absolute truth. The Mayavadi philosophers say that in the Brahman, the ultimate goal, that there is no variety. So just to disprove the theory of the Mayavadis, the Supreme Lord, he appears in Kali Yuga as Panchatattva, thereby manifesting the varieties of nature of the absolute truth. Rasha Shaktira Vivitaiva Shruyate, the Lord possesses unlimited varieties of energies. They're all one in the sense that they are qualitatively Brahman, but there is variety. Therefore, the Lord actually appears not only as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but he appears in five features, specifically to defeat the Mayavadis, Prabhupada said. There's Lord Chaitanya, who is none other than the Lord himself. There's Lord Nityananda, who is his immediate expansion, Lord Balaram. Then there's Shri Advaita, who is his incarnation, Mahavishnu avatar, or sometimes it is stated, Sadashiva. Sometimes it's described that Advaita Acharya is an incarnation of Mahavishnu. Other places it is described that he is an incarnation of Sadashiva. Anyway, he is an incarnation of the Lord. And Sri Gadadhar, who is the internal potency of the Lord, Srimati Radharani, and Srivas Thakur, who is the marginal potency of the Lord. So in this way, we have a complete manifestation of the absolute truth. The Lord, with all his varieties of energies, personified. Rasha Shaktira Vivitaiva Shruyate. Thus, disproving the theory of the Mayavadis that God is simply one substance without variety. So therefore, our obeisances to the Lord, to the absolute truth, are complete when we say, Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda. This is the understanding. We address the Lord completely when we address him with his varieties of the absolute truth. Lord Nityananda, his expansion, Sri Advaita Acharya, his incarnation, Sri Gadadhar, his internal potency, and Sri Vastagur, his marginal potency. When we address them, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasari Ghor Bhaktivinoda, we are addressing the Lord as the complete manifestation of the absolute. So therefore, Prabhupada says, and he remarks on this point, he elaborates on this point even further by saying that this particular manifestation of the absolute truth, or this complete manifestation of the absolute truth, is extremely merciful to the fallen conditioned souls of Kali Yuga. In fact, Prabhupada said, Gornitai, accept no offenses. Gornitai, they accept no offenses. Therefore, before chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, we first address the Lord as Gornitai or Panchatattva. And by doing so, we purify our hearts so that when we chant Hare Krishna, we can chant without offenses. So, as we know from Srimad Bhagavatam, whenever the Lord appears in order to facilitate his transcendental leela, his pastimes, he first inaugurates his mission by sending his associates, sending his devotees, or sending his expansions, or sending his incarnations. In this way, they all prepare for the pastime of the Lord. Just like even in this material world, we sometimes see that when a great man goes somewhere, he also takes along his entourage. He takes his ministers, he takes his cabinet members, he takes his family members, he takes some friends. A great king, when he goes somewhere, at least in Vedic times, would be a great procession. Even hundreds, sometimes thousands of people would go to assist the king in his duties. So similarly, when the Lord descends from Goloka Vrindavan to Gokul, or when he comes in the spiritual world to Mayapur Dham, to Navadvip Dham, then first he sends his different devotees and he places them perfectly to facilitate his pastimes. So that is described in Gaura Ganandaka Tipika. It is one book which describes who is who. It's like they have one book. Do they have that here? Who is who? You can find out who is who. So you want to know who is who? Who is who in Krishna Leela and how they have manifested in Chaitanya Leela? Then you can read this particular Bengali scripture that is printed. So we know different personalities took birth, and previous to the appearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shri Advaita Acharya appeared. Shri Advaita Acharya, he appeared sometime before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because actually when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, we all know Advaita Acharya was quite elderly. He was older. He had a beard and white hair, etc. So he must have appeared sometime before the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there was a specific reason that Mahavishnu incarnated as Sri Advaita Acharya in order to establish the scene for the appearance of the Lord. Because at that time, things were very degraded. Things tend to deteriorate within the material world. So similarly, the principles of religion or the principles of dharma under the influence of this material world tend to deteriorate rapidly. That is why we see the Lord has to reestablish religious principles. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. That whenever and wherever there's a decline in religion, the Lord manifests in some form or another. He comes himself, he sends his son, he empowers a particular representative. So similarly, just before the appearance of Lord Chaitanya, the teachings of Lord Krishna had deteriorated. And actually it's described that in Navadvip, Mayapur, which is an eternal dham, which is the eternal abode of the Lord, it was so, the situation had deteriorated so much that you never even heard the name Krishna. Although we were speaking this morning, remember, Vedaischai Savarham, Evavedyo, Vedantakrit, Vedavid, Evacham. Krishna says that I am the goal of the Vedas. I am the compiler of the Vedas. I am the knower of the Vedas as they are. Although all Vedic literatures point to the absolute truth as being the supreme personality of Godhead, beyond the Brahman, beyond Paramatma realization, it is very clear in Bhagavad Gita. Nonetheless, there were so many spiritual practices taking place in Navadvip 550 years ago but not once was the name of Krishna mentioned, not once was the name Bhakti mentioned, but only Karmakanda, Jnanakanda, Upanasanakanda, like we were speaking this morning. These parts of the Vedic literatures were being discussed and gone over and scrutinized and elaborated on, etc. But Navadvip, the eternal dham of the Lord, nothing Krishna conscious. And those who were practicing such teachings, they could care less about the common man. They could care less. There was no welfare work going on for the gradual upliftment of human society. There were logicians, there were jnanis, there were yogis, all concerned about their own process of self-realization, letting the mass of people become more entangled in the meshes of birth and death. So Advaita Acharya, he grew up in Shantipur, and he was known when he was young as Mangala. Mangala, what does Mangala mean? Auspicious. He was known as Mangala or Kamalaksha. He had two names, Kamala and Kamalaksha. And his parents, as a young boy, they raised him with great attention. They were very careful. And he received the Gayatri thread, the Brahminical initiation, at a very young age. And then, while he was still young, not a boy, but a young man, his parents died. Sri Advaita Acharya's parents died. So he went on pilgrimage to Gaya. So he spent some time in Gaya. And then when Advaita Acharya came back, he married. He married Sita Devi and Sri Devi. Took two wives. This is sometimes customary in Vedic culture, that a man would marry two sisters. So he married Sita Devi and Sri Devi, who were none other than Yogamaya Avatar and Yogamaya Prakash. So, with his wives, he performed his various duties, anticipating the appearance of the Supreme Lord, because he was very depressed, seeing the condition of the fallen souls. Although he was incarnation, he played the role of devotee. He was direct incarnation of Mahavishnu, but he appeared in the mood of devotee also. So, what is the mood of devotee? Vanchakalpa tudubhyascha kripa sindhu bevacha patitanam bhavanedo vaishnavevya. Oceans of mercy. It's like desire trees that can satisfy the desires of everyone. They're full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. So, Advaita Acharya, he was the personification of that compassion. And when he saw the condition of the world, he moved from Shantipur to Navadvip. And in Navadvip, he built a small cottage. And he began worshipping Shalagram Shila with the Tulsi and the Ganges water. And he appealed directly, because Shalagram is not different than the Lord. Actually, Shalagram Shila is found in the Gandaki River in Nepal. And it's understood that the Shalagram stone, actually it's non-different than the Lord. Archamurti, the form of the Lord which can be perceived by the conditioned soul. So there's no installation for Shalagram Shila. Whereas we install the Murti, after he's carved, we install the Murti and understand he's not different than the Supreme Lord. The Shalagram, there's no installation ceremony. He's directly Krishna. Self-manifested form of Krishna. The Sringa Shalagram, Varaha Shalagram, Gopal, there's different Shalagrams. So he was worshipping Krishna Shalagram, and he was appealing directly to the Lord. My dear Lord, if you do not come, who will save these people? If you do not come directly, sometimes an appeal is made directly to the Lord like that. Although we may try our best to perform the Dharma, sometimes it is necessary that Krishna himself comes. Or a particularly empowered personality comes. Just like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also rejuvenated the Vaishnava faith in the 1800s. Again, it deteriorated in just 300 or 400 years. And again, it deteriorated to Sahajism. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had started his Sankirtan movement, his preaching. He had a vision that Krishna consciousness would go all over the world. But he was at a loss. After I leave, what will happen? So he appealed to the Lord directly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "My dear Lord, please you send one man from your personal camp. One of your own men." As Prabhupada later described, Bhaktisiddhanta, he was a Vaikuntha man. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So you send one of your own men. He said, "A ray of Vishnu. In a few weeks we'll be celebrating the appearance of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So you send one of your own men from your own camp." It's like if we called over Sydney, we had some problem. Pratapna Prabhu, send one of your right arm men over here. The men from your own camp to help us in our situation here. Appeal is made. So of course, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was born in the family of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So similarly, Advaita Acharya, his appeal coincided with the time for the Lord to appear in Kali Yuga. The Lord appears in each age to establish the Yuga Dharma. So by doing one thing, the Lord accomplishes many things. That is Krishna. Krishna is so wonderful that by doing one thing, many things are accomplished. Even they may appear to be contradictory. The Lord is so wonderful. By doing one thing, many things. So, it was time for the Yuga Dharma. It was time for the incarnation of the Lord to descend in Kali Yuga. As described in religious scriptures, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam. Simultaneously, the Lord in Goloka Vrindavan, he was overwhelmed with the ecstatic, loving mood of Srimati Radharani. Lord Krishna, it's described by Krishnadas Kavyagash Goswami that originally Krishna was one, but in order to enjoy his transcendental variegatedness, he became two, Ladini Shakti. The Ladini Shakti, the internal potency of the Lord, personified Srimati Radharani, Bhakti Devi, Vrindavanishwari, Madan Mohan Mohini. So she is the pleasure potency of the Lord, and she possesses the topmost bhakti, or loving service for Krishna. So Krishna was at one point completely dumbfounded by the love of Srimati Radharani. So he wanted to experience, what is this love that Radha has for me? So he decided again to become one in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and to descend into the Kali Yuga, and by performing devotional activities, specifically by chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, in the mood of the devotee, experience the ecstatic loving sentiments of Srimati Radharani. Because as the Supreme Purusha, he could not do that. It was not possible. So he had to become devotee, because only devotee can express that loving sentiment for the supreme lovable object, Krishna. Actually, Radha's love for Krishna is even greater than Krishna's definition as the supreme controller. God is the supreme controller by definition. But what is even greater than God? Love for God. Because by one's love for God, one can actually control the Supreme Lord. Like we see in Goloka Vrindavan, the Lord's devotees sometimes take the position of being greater than the Lord by His grace. And that way they enjoy more intimate relationships as friends, as parents, as lovers. One can enter into more intimate relationship. So the role had to be changed. In order for Krishna to experience the love for Radha, he had to take the position of Radha. And what is Radha's position? She is the topmost devotee of the Lord. So in order to experience the devotee's love for himself, he took the mood and the color of Srimati Radharani. Radharani, what is it? Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavanishvare Vrishabhana Sutta Devi Pranamami Haripriye. So Radharani is the golden color. So that is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became golden. Tapta Kanchana Gaurange. He took the mood and the sentiment, everything about Srimati Radharani. That's why sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would be dancing in front of the Rathayatra cart in the ecstasy of the gopis. And Krishna, who was present on the chariot as Lord Jagannath, he would very much be enjoying the loving sentiments of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the mood of Radharani, who was controlled. So that sometimes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would go around the cart to see Balaram or to see Subhadra, and Lord Krishna's cart, Jagannath's cart, would stop. And all the king's money and all the king's men couldn't make the cart move again. Maybe that's where they got that. All the king's money and all the king's men couldn't put the cart back on the road again. Even they brought out the elephants, wouldn't work. Because Krishna's love for Radha is also supreme. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mood of Radharani, the most perfect devotee, disappeared, Jagannath's cart would just stop. And only when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu again came in front and started dancing, then the wheels would start rolling again. So this is the intimate understanding of the Vaishnavas. The common man could not understand what was happening. But the devotees, they knew all these pastimes and they relished them like anything. The devotees were relishing these pastimes. Anyway, so Radha is the devotee. So, Advaita Acharya, he's appealing to the Lord, you please appear. So simultaneously with the cries of Advaita Acharya, the supreme compassion of the Vaishnava personified in the prayers of Advaita Acharya, you please appear. Simultaneously, it was time for the Yuga Dharma to be established. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam Iva Kevalam, Kulua Nashdeva, 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 Gatir Anyakad. And simultaneously, Lord Krishna wanted to experience the loving sentiments of Srimati Radharani. So just like thunder and lightning appear simultaneously, the Lord descended. So one can take it from any angle of vision. Just like Kunti Devi in the Srimad Bhagavatam, she says, oh, some say that you have appeared because of this reason. Others say that you have appeared because of that reason. And still others say that you have appeared to give satisfaction to the Yadu dynasty. Some say because of the appeal of Brahma. Some say because, again, it was time for you to appear. Some say that to enjoy loving pastime, etc., etc. So one may take any of these particular reasons. They are the external and the internal reasons for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance. External reasons, Yuga Dharma, the appeal of Advaita Acharya. Internal reasons, that Krishna had his own internal reasons. He wanted to experience Radha's love. Just like Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, I received an order from my Guru Maharaj to go to the Western countries and preach Krishna consciousness. He said, that I did. And by the grace of my Guru Maharaj, I was successful. He said, but now I am going back to India because I have my own personal desire. I have accomplished the mission of my Guru Maharaj. He said, now I have my own personal desire. What is my own personal desire? That I want to reestablish the Vedic culture in India. So you know how much time Prabhupada spent in India. Actually, Prabhupada spent a good deal of his time in India. After the initial years in the West, Prabhupada spent much time in Bombay. That is a whole book in itself. It is just briefly mentioned in the Leelamrita. His Holiness Giriraj Swami will, in the near future, produce two volumes, thick volumes, about Prabhupada's pastimes at the Bombay, Juhu Beach Temple Project. That is a wonderful story, how Prabhupada established the temple there. And then Prabhupada, of course, he established Vrindavan, he established Mayapur for various reasons. One, to revitalize India, Bharatvasa. Bharat, Bharat. Va means light or knowledge. And Varsha means that place where it is it is assimilated. Bharatvasa, where transcendental knowledge assimilates, the motherland of religion, that is India, Bharatvasa. So Prabhupada went there to his own internal desire, of course, to please his Guru Maharaj, to establish Krishna consciousness again, because Prabhupada, if India became Krishna conscious, the whole world would become Krishna conscious. Because frankly speaking, all knowledge, all spiritual knowledge comes from the Vedas. It comes from India. Whatever culture there is in the world originally had its origin in India. And that meaning also spiritual knowledge. So anyway, the Lord had his external and internal reasons. So based on the appeal of Sri Advaita Acharya, the Lord made his descent. And we know the pastime, at least we'll be discussing it in a few weeks, how when the Lord appeared, he immediately established his Yuga Dharma. Because even before he appeared as a lunar eclipse. And what happens during a lunar eclipse, which is generally considered to be an inauspicious occasion, if there's an eclipse in India, you see people stay inside. Because Rahu is eating the moon, or he's eating the sun. So I was in India one year, and there was a solar eclipse. So being born and raised in Western culture, I was thinking, oh, this is going to be great fun. Because I saw in the newspaper that the solar eclipse would happen right at 12 noon. And the solar eclipse was saying, according to the vision of the scientists, that you would be able to see for the first time in hundreds and hundreds of years with the naked eye a solar eclipse. Oh, it's wonderful to see this great phenomena of material nature. But then I went back to the temple and told the devotees, Prabhu, there's going to be a solar eclipse. We can all go out there and just like really see what it's going to be like. And I got severely chastised, right, Prabhupada? Because in India, when there's an eclipse, it's a very inauspicious time. Very, very inauspicious time. And all human beings, they go inside the total duration of the eclipse. And any food which is outside, which has already been picked, like bananas or vegetables or whatever, whatever food is out there, then that's considered unedible. Any water which is left standing in a jar, or anything like this, it becomes contaminated. So this is the tradition, and I just peeked outside. Just a quick peek behind some sunglasses. I got sick the next day. But just a quick peek outside, I saw that the streets were deserted at noon. Now that is a very interesting phenomenon in India. If you know, how many of you have been to India? Raise your hand. So in India, isn't it? There's millions of people per square inch. at any time of the day. And they're all honking horns. Beep, beep, beep. This is India. So you can imagine India completely deserted at high noon. That's what it was like. So that's the Vedic understanding. But there's different ways that one can counteract that also. By bathing in the Ganga during an eclipse, also one becomes fully protected. So generally speaking, when there's an eclipse, people are bathing in the Ganges. Bathing in the Ganges. So what do they do when they're in the Ganges? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram. So in that perfect atmosphere of the loud chanting of the holy names of the Lord made his descent. The Falguna, or the time when the moon was full, the month of the Falguna, Lord appeared during lunar eclipse, and it was such that even the non-devotees, they were also chanting, like the Muslims. Prabhupada said, the Muslim. They were also chanting, mimicking, mocking the Hindus. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, ah. They were also chanting. So, in that perfect atmosphere, actually predicting the appearance of the Lord, predicting the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What was his mission? To get all living entities to take up the chanting of Hare Krishna, at least to hear it, not to let anyone escape from the Sankirtan movement, even logicians, students, anyone who was adverse to the Yuga Dharma, they could not escape. So just giving that type of prediction, where even the low-born Muslims, they were also chanting, the Lord made his perfect ascent into the material world. So at that time, Haridas Thakur and Sri Advaita Acharya, Haridas had also appeared, they were in Shantipur. And by the grace of the Lord from within their hearts, they realized that Krishna had appeared. So what did they do? They started dancing in great ecstasy. Haridas and Advaita Acharya started dancing and dancing and Hari, Hari, because they knew now the Lord has appeared. Now all these fallen souls will be saved. So without even knowing, actually he'd appeared, within the heart, they could understand. So they started chanting and dancing. So immediately at that time, Sri Advaita Acharya and Sita Devi, they went to the Yogapit. Yogapit is the exact site where the Lord appears, under the neem tree. And there, Jagannath Mishra and Sachimata, they were there, and all the people were coming to visit Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So in this way, the Lord made his advent on the strong appeal of Sri Advaita Acharya. So the Lord's pastimes went on. When the Lord was 17 years of age, he began the first civil disobedience movement. Prabhupada, this is the vision of a devotee. Prabhupada said, the first civil disobedience movement in Krishna consciousness, because the Qazi had been asked by the local Brahmins to stop this Harinam Sankirtan. So when the Lord was only 17, he went to debate with his kaka. That is a word in Bengali which means his uncle, his spiritual uncle. So there was some type of relationship that I don't remember the connection, but the Qazi was a great scholar. Actually, he was a great, great scholar in Islamic teachings. Not only that, but he was a great scholar in Sanskrit. Did you know that? I heard this on a lecture just the other day. The Qazi was no ordinary man. Actually, he was very, very learned in all the Vedic scriptures. Just like Prabhupada speaks in that lecture about Dr. Woodrow. Dr. Woodrow served in the Bengali government during Prabhupada's time when Prabhupada was very young. And Prabhupada remarked how he was an expert Sanskrit scholar. Although he was an Englishman, Muslim man, he was Englishman, Christian, But he was very expert in the Vedic scriptures, and he actually translated some of the tantric scriptures. Professor Woodrow. So Prabhupada said, this is sometimes, he said, scholars are scholars and saints are saints. He says, scholars are always scholars, and they will always know so many things. He said, saints, they're always saints. So you have scholars, we say, he's a born scholar, or he's a born musician, or he's a born devotee of the Lord, like that, just that expression. So the Kazi, he was a great Sanskrit scholar. So we hear a little bit of the discussion in teachings of Lord Chaitanya, isn't it? How the Kazi, he pointed out that you are speaking about religious principles, but you are saying that we should not eat the cow in the Muslim man religion. You say, but in your own scriptures, there is also allowance for cow killing. He challenges the Lord. So obviously, he knew, but he knew much more than we think he knew. He was a great scholar. So it was a long discussion, Prabhupada said. We have a synopsis of it, a little bit of it, but actually it was a very long discussion. And the Lord defeated the Kazi. And the Kazi, he said, of course we know another internal confidential fact, that one night the Kazi was sleeping. While he was sleeping in his dream, this ferocious half-man, half-lion appeared in his dream and said, if you disturb the Sankirtan movement, I'll finish you off. So the Kazi woke up. He was horrified by this dream, petrified by this dream. When he woke up, what did he see? Blood on his chest. The nails of Narasingha. Shri Shri Lakshmi Narasingha Deva Ki. That's the confidential. Just like Prabhupada said, practically under his breath, the devotees asked him, Dr. Nair, you know Dr. Nair? He was the one, Mr. Nair, believe? He was the one that was causing Prabhupada so much trouble in Bombay. He cheated the devotees. He sold the land at a very high price, got the money, but then, did you say, reneged? He went back on his promise. He cheated the devotees, actually. He kept the papers, he kept the deed, and he had the money. Imagine, challenging a pure devotee of the Lord, Sridhar Prabhupada. So, there was a long battle that will come out in Giridhar Swami's book. It's briefly described in the Leelamrita by Satsvarup Maharaj. But then, one day, at the height of the anxiety and the legal hassle and the problems and the police coming down and tearing down the temporary temple and dragging Maitahili off with her hair. Maitahili was a devotee who preached to me when I first came to Krishna consciousness. She was very young when she joined. And she fascinated me in the beginning by telling me the story how when the men, the local police department, the thugs, Gundas came to tear down Radharasa Bihari's temple and break the deities. Because in India, the custom is that if you establish a deity, it cannot be removed. So if you want to establish yourself on the property, just establish the deity. You can never be removed. But these demons tried by various political arrangements and so forth to get the devotees off the land in Juhu Beach. The devotees were living in very, very austere conditions, along with Sridhar Prabhupada. The deities were in a ram, kind of like a tin shack, a little bit more than that, but not much more than that. And that was their first temple. Prabhupada put them there. He said, my dear Lord, you please come and stay, and I will build you a beautiful temple. Prabhupada promised Radharasa Bihari. Radharasa Bihari, very dear to Sridhar Prabhupada. He promised them, if you come and stay on this land, then I will build you a very nice temple. So the Gundas, they came to destroy that temple. And they came with their hammers and their, you know, all those steel bars. They began tearing down the temple like that. And Mighty Healy, she's a big girl, big devotee. Many of you know her. So she stood right in front of the deities like this. You know, against 40 Gundas. So they, boom, they knocked her down. And the ladies tie their hair like that in the back. She's a big, heavy girl. they dragged her by the hair. They didn't lift her, they didn't pull her by the arms. They took her hair and they dragged her body out like this. And then started to beat her. The Prabhupada was very appreciative of her sacrifice. So then later on, just at the last moment, one devotee called the lawyers and the judges, and they issued another statement that the temple should not be demolished. So just in time, the police came with this notice just before they were going to break the deities. Anyway, it's a very wonderful, I don't want to tell you the whole story because it's really ecstatic how the adventure of that way. So anyway, that just gives you a little bit of an understanding of the anxiety of the situation. So it even got more intense, and it appeared as if there was no solution. And one day, Mr. Nair died of a heart attack. Died of a heart attack, which came as a complete surprise to the devotees. The whole thing turned in our favor at that point. It was Mrs. Nair, but she was much easier to work with afterwards. Not much, but a little bit. Anyway, when the devotees, they came to Prabhupada, they told Prabhupada. So Prabhupada closed his eyes. He said, thank you very much. He said, I have prayed to Lord Nrisingadev to kill him. So when Giriraj Swami told this story, he said, we shouldn't really make this too much public. Yes. Yeah, perhaps he said that. I mean, we know the Prabhupada wouldn't wish that upon anyone, of course, but that was the supreme mercy, because you imagine the Lord in his heart, you know, Lord Nrisingadev took his life. So when Prabhupada said thank you very much, he wasn't speaking to the devotee who delivered the message. He was thanking Lord Nrisingadev. Thank you very much. And then he said, yes, I asked Lord Nrisingadev to kill him. So the Qazi, he experienced something like that in a dream, that the Lord, and then just like that Brahmana, we told the story the other day of the Brahmana, how devotional service can be performed even on the platform of the mind, Manasa Puja. So the Brahman was cooking the sweet rice, and when he was cooking, he wanted to test, so he put his finger in and he burned his finger, broke his meditation, but when he woke up, he saw his finger was actually burned. So when the Qazi woke up, he saw the scratch marks of the Nrisingadev on his chest. So at that time, the Qazi, actually he became a great devotee of Mahaprabhu. There's actually, where is that place called where he's buried, the Qazi? The Chan Qazi? Huh? Yeah, there's a place where you can go. And the Vaishnavas go and they pay their respects to the Chan Qazi because he made a proclamation which still holds true today that forevermore in this region of Navadvip, Mayapur Dham, never again will the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya be stopped. Though even today, it's not stopped, going on. And the Chan Qazi's place is there. So, Advaita Acharya, he assisted the Lord. Again, the Lord is appearing in five features. So, Lord Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Sri Gadadhar, and Sri Vas, together the Panchatattva, they broke open the storehouse of love of God and distributed the fruits of love. And the whole thing. And what was that? That was that Advaita Acharya was initiated by Ishvara Puri. He was initiated by Madhavinda Puri. Madhavinda Puri also initiated Ishvara Puri, the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. And Madhavinda Puri was also the spiritual master of Lord Nityananda. So like that, He was considered Advaitacharya because he took initiation from Madhavendra Puri. He was considered the spiritual uncle of Lord Chaitanya. Actually, Lord Chaitanya considered Advaitacharya because of his initiation. Seniority in Krishna consciousness is understood by one's initiation, one's present service, and one's age. That is how we determine seniority. Because Vaishnavas like to take shelter of elder devotees. That is our process, as we mentioned in class the other day. Taking shelter of older devotees, developing close relationship with our peers, and helping those who are younger than us. So, to determine what is older devotee, then, what is the date of initiation? What is the age? And what is the service? This is what we can determine. So this same spiritual formula, the same Vaishnava etiquette was applied by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Advaitacharya, because Advaitacharya had taken initiation from Madhavendra Puri, who was the spiritual master of his spiritual master. Advaitacharya, because he was always being favored by Lord Chaitanya in that way. One day Advaitacharya, he went to a camp of Mayavadis, and he began to explain the absolute truth in a very speculative way, philosophical speculation, in the association of the Mayavadis. He did it on purpose. And then he waited. Then Lord Chaitanya, he found out that Advaita was doing like this, so he came and he beat him. I have the pastime here. If we have time, a little later, we can read. And Sita Thakurani, no, he's old man, he's old man, you cannot beat him, you know. And Advaita is going, more. So Advaita said, previously the Lord, he was always giving me so much honor. Now he is neglecting me. He said, but he has saved me from the hands of the Mayavadis. So in this way, he tried to turn the relationship around a little bit. Instead of being worshipped as the guru, he wanted to become the disciple, the devotee. So he made this arrangement where actually Lord Chaitanya took the superior position. Shishi Radha Gokula Nanda ki, Jagannath Swami ki, Lakshminar Singh Deva ki, Shishi Gorni Thai ki. So, like that, he received the blessings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just in the mood which he particularly desired. One day, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he revealed, he showed his full spiritual form to his most intimate associates. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he kept his identity hidden. As we said earlier, when they would call him Vishnu, he would hold his ears. But for the pleasure of his intimate devotees, the Lord manifested his full spiritual features. And that was different for each devotee, because there were different devotees who had different relationships with the Lord. So I think it was Murari Gupta who was particularly attracted to the form of the Lord as Varaha. This is like that. So, Ram. Who was the devotee where the Lord appeared as Varaha? That's, there's a painting like that in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. The Lord is manifested as Varaha to give pleasure to one particular devotee. Anyway, for each of his devotees, the Lord manifested a particular feature. So, because of his being Mahavishnu, the source of all the universes, then it would give great pleasure to the Lord to reveal himself as a universal form to Sri Advaitacharya. So that's one particular pastime which is also discussed, and particularly in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So those are some of the pastimes. Of course, there's many, many pastimes of Sri Advaitacharya mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I thought this evening we could just take one of those pastimes and read a little. This will take about 15 minutes.
Shri Advaita Acharya Ki, Shri Panchatattva Ki. So this is chapter 3 from the Madhya Leela, volume 1. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda. Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. After accepting the sannyas order of life, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of intense love for Krishna, wanted to go to Vrindavan, but apparently by mistake he wandered in the Radha Desh. Later he arrived at Shantipur and enjoyed himself there with his devotees. I offer my respectful obeisances to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all glories to Nityananda, all glories to Advaita Prabhu, and all glories to the devotees of Lord Chaitanya, headed by Srivas. At the end of his 24th year in the month of Magh, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted the sannyas order during the waxing period of the moon. After accepting the sannyas order, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, out of intense love for Krishna, started for Vrindavan. However, he mistakenly wandered about in a trance continuously for 3 days in the tract of land on his Radha Desh. Passing through the tract of land on his Radha Desh, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recited the following verse in ecstasy. Itam samasta paratma nishtam vajashitam puvatar mahadvahi hamtadi shalmidranta param tamomukundangi shivayava. That's the sannyasi mantra. As a Brahmin from Avanti Desh said, I shall cross over the insurmountable ocean of nations by being firmly fixed in the service of the lotus feet of Krishna. This was approved by the previous acharyas who were fixed in firm devotion to the Lord, Paramatma, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya approved of the purport of this verse on account of the determination of the mendicant devotee to engage in the service of Lord Mukunda. He gave his approval of this verse, indicating that it was very good. The real purpose of accepting sannyas is to dedicate oneself to the service of Mukunda. By serving Mukunda, one can actually be liberated from the bondage of material existence. As Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was en route to Vrindavan, all the ecstatic symptoms became manifest. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went toward Vrindavan, Nityananda Prabhu, Chandrasekhar, and Prabhu Mukunda followed him. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed through the Radha Desh, whoever saw him in ecstasy exclaimed, Hari, Hari. As they chanted this with the Lord, all the unhappiness of material existence diminished. All the cowherd boys who saw Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passing joined with him and began to shout loudly, Hari, Hari. When he heard all the cowherd boys also chanting Hari, Hari, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very pleased. He approached them, put his hand on their heads and said, Go on chanting like this. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thus blessed them all, saying that they were all fortunate. In this way he praised them, and he felt very successful because they chanted the holy name of Hari. Calling all the boys in confidence and telling them a reasonable story, Nityananda Prabhu instructed them as follows. If Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asks you about the path to Vrindavan, please show him the path on the bank of the Ganges instead. When the cowherd boys were questioned by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu about the path to Vrindavan, the boys, following the instruction of Lord Nityananda, showed him the path on the bank of the Ganges, and the Lord went in that way in ecstasy. As the Lord proceeded along the bank of the Ganges, Sri Nityananda Prabhu requested Acharya Ratna to go immediately to the house of Advaita Acharya. Sri Nityananda Goswami told him, I shall take Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the bank of the Ganges at Shantipur, and Advaita Acharya should carefully stay there on shore with a boat. After that, Nityananda continued, I shall go to Advaita Acharya's house, and you should go to Navadvip and return with Mother Sachi and all the devotees. After sending Acharya Ratna to the house of Advaita Acharya, Sri Nityananda Prabhu went before Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and gave notice of his coming. When the Lord asked Nityananda Prabhu how far it was to Vrindavan, Nityananda replied, Oh, just see here is the river Jamuna. saying like this, Nityananda Prabhu took Chaitanya Mahaprabhu near the Ganges. And the Lord in his ecstasy accepted the river Ganges as the river Jamuna. The Lord said, "Oh, what good fortune! Now I have seen the river Jamuna." Thus thinking the Ganges to be the river Jamuna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to offer prayers. After offering prayers, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered obeisances and took his bath in the Ganges. At that time, he had only one piece of underwear, for there was no second garment. While Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was standing there without a second garment, Sri Advaita Acharya arrived in a boat, bringing him new underwear and external garments. When Advaita Acharya arrived, he stood before the Lord and offered his obeisances. After seeing him, the Lord began to wonder about the entire situation. Still in his ecstasy, the Lord began asking Advaita, "Why did you come here? How did you know that I was in Vrindavan?" And Advaita disclosed the whole situation, telling Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, very famous verse, "Acharya kahi tumi yaha se Vrindavan, mora bhagya gangatiri tamarar agaman." Advaita Acharya disclosed the whole situation, telling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Wherever you are, that is Vrindavan. Now it is my great fortune that you have come to the bank of the Ganges." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, "Oh, Nityananda has cheated me. He has brought me to the bank of the Ganges and told me that it was the Jamuna." When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accused Nityananda of cheating him, Srila Dvaita Acharya said, "Whatever Nityananda Prabhu has told you is not false. Now you have indeed just now taken your bath in the river Jamuna." Advaita Acharya then explained that at that spot, both the Ganges and Jamuna flow together. On the western side was the Jamuna, and the eastern side was the Ganges. Advaita Acharya then suggested that since Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had taken his bath in the river Jamuna, and his underwear was now wet, the Lord should change his underwear for dry garments. Advaita Acharya said, "You have been fasting continuously for 3 days in your ecstasy of love of Krishna. I therefore invite you to my home, where you may kindly take your alms. Come with me to my residence." Advaita Prabhu continued, "At my home I have just cooked one palmful of rice. The vegetables are very simple. There's no luxurious cooking, simply a little liquid vegetable and some spinach." Saying this, Sri Advaita Acharya took the Lord onto the boat and brought the Lord to his residence. There Advaita Acharya washed the feet of the Lord and was constantly very happy within. All the edibles were first cooked by the wife Advaita Acharya. Then Srila Advaita Acharya personally offered everything to Lord Vishnu. All the prepared foods were divided into 3 equal parts. One part was arranged on a metal plate for offering to Lord Krishna. Of the 3 divisions, one was arranged on a metal plate and the other 2 arranged on plantain leaves. These leaves were not bifurcated and they were taken from a banana tree that held at least 32 bunches of bananas. The 2 plates were filled very nicely with the kinds of food described below. Now remember what Advaita said. Very simple, a palmful of rice and some simple sabji. The rice, the cooked rice, was a stack of very fine grains, nicely cooked, and in the middle was yellow butter clarified from the milk of cows. It's a good thing we already had the feast. Surrounding the stack of rice were pots made of the skins of banana trees, and in these pots were all varieties of vegetables and different types of dal. Among the cooked vegetables were patolas. What's a patola? What is it like? Like a squash or something? Is it good? Patola, squash, manakachu? Banana flour, manakachu, and a salad made with pieces of ginger and various types of spinach. You had that when you were a boy? There was shukta, spinach, right? Bitter melon mixed with all kinds of vegetables, defined the taste of nectar. There were 5 types of bitter and pungent shuktas. Amongst the various vegetables were newly grown leaves of nimba trees fried with eggplant. The fruit known as patola was fried with phulabhati. Phulabhati. You're drooling. Home sweet home, right? Here's one devotee who can think of home, you know. When we have to think of home, you know, it's Maya. But Prabhupada is so fortunate that when he thinks of home, what does he think of? Shantipur. Prabha Prabhu Ki. That's where Dvaitacharya appeared. Okay. A kind of dal preparation, first mashed and then dried in the sun. There was also a preparation known as Kushmanda Manachaki. Kushmanda Manachaki.
Like potatoes,
I guess. Prabhupada says in the purport, we request our editors of cookbooks to add these nice preparations described by the experienced author, Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. Elsewhere, Prabhupada mentions that Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has so nicely presented all these preparations, he must have been a very good cook. Actually, one quality of a devotee is a good cook. The preparation made with coconut pulp mixed with curd and rock candy was very sweet. There was a curry made of banana flowers and squash boiled in milk, all in great quantity. There were small cakes in sweet and sour sauce and five or six kinds of sour preparations. All the vegetables were so made that everyone present could take prasad. So this is our culture, right? Our cooks should take note of this. Prabhupada said, we request our editors of cookbooks to add all these nice preparations described by the experienced author, Srila Kaviraj Goswami. So our cooks should carry on the tradition of Krishna consciousness by always presenting these traditional Vedic preparations. This is our culture. Just like Prabhupada said, that one day people will learn Bengali just to read Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he said that these Bengali melodies are so nice that people will want to, they'll attract the whole world, right? He said, these Bengali melodies. Giba jayo, jayo gora chande, aro tike so. These melodies are so attractive that they will enchant the entire world. So this is our culture. We are not Australians, we are not Italians. We are not Americans. We are not Bhima Burgers. No, what is our culture? Of course, these things can be used, of course, in Krishna's service. But as much as possible, we should present these things, know these things, relish these things. Patola, Fulabadi, Kushmanda, Manachaki. It even sounds good. Manachaki, you are drooling. You know what it is, you just don't want to tell us. Oh, we're getting through this quite slowly. It's really tasting good. Let's see, where were we? All the vegetables were served in pots made of banana leaves taken from trees producing at least 32 bunches of bananas. These pots were very strong and big and did not tilt or totter. All around the three eating places were hundreds of pots filled with various kinds of vegetables. Hundreds of pots, mind you. Along with the various vegetables, there was sweet rice mixed with ghee. This was kept in new earthen pots. Earthen pots filled with highly condensed milk were placed in three places. Besides the other preparations, there were chipped rice made with milk and mixed with bananas and white squash boiled in milk. Indeed, it is not possible to describe all the preparations that were made. In two places, there were earthen pots filled with another preparation made with yogurt, sandesh, sweet meat made with curd and banana. I am unable to describe it all. Upon the stack of boiled rice and all the vegetables were flowers of the tulsi trees. There were also pots filled with scented rose water. There were three sitting places where soft cloths were placed. Thus, Lord Krishna was offered all the foodstuff, and the Lord took it very pleasantly. It is the system after offering food to perform bhogartik. And Dvaita Prabhu asked the two brothers, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, to come see the artik. The two lords and all others were present, and they went to see the artik ceremony. After artik was performed for the deities in the temple, Lord Krishna was made to lie down to rest. And Dvaita Charya then came out to submit something to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Sri Dvaita Prabhu said, my dear lords, kindly enter this room. The two brothers, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, then came forward to take the prasad. When Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu went to accept the prasad, They both called Mukunda and Haridas to come with them. However, Mukunda and Haridas, both with folded hands, spoke as follows. When Mukunda was called for, he submitted, "My dear sir, I have something to do that is not yet finished. Later I shall accept prasadam, but you two Prabhu should now please enter the room." Haridas Thakur said, "My dear Lord, I am most sinful and lowest amongst men. Later I shall eat only one palmful of prasad while waiting outside." Advaita Acharya took Lord Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu within the room. The two lords saw the arrangement of prasad. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu especially very much pleased. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approved of all the methods employed in cooking and offering food to Krishna. An important statement. Indeed, he was so pleased that he said, "Frankly, I will personally take the lotus feet of anyone who can offer Krishna such nice food and place those lotus feet on my head, birth after birth." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, ki. All the cooks, ki. It was a very nice feast tonight. Who cooked that feast? Vrisha and who? Somebody else. Very nice feast. All the cook maharajas, ki. And the gulabs are also very good. Who liked the gulabs? Raise your hand. Oh, Prabhupada Maharaj from Shantipur, ki. Navadvip, Navadvip. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu entered the room, he saw three divisions of food, and he knew that all of these were meant for Krishna. However, he did not understand the intentions of Advaita Acharya. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Let us sit down in these three places, and we shall take prasadam." And Advaita said, "However, I shall distribute the prasadam." Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu thought that all these three servings were meant for distribution. Therefore, he asked for another two banana leaves, saying, "Let us have a little quantity of vegetable and rice." Advaita Acharya said, "Just sit down here on these seats." Catching their hands, he sat them both down. So we can see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed ecstatic, loving relationships with his devotees. Of course, again, Advaita is Mahavishnu avatar, but he's relating to the Lord as a devotee. And the Lord is personally showing us activities of Vaishnavas, how to relate to each other, how to prepare nice food stuff for the Lord, offer it to him, to sit down the Vaishnavas, and in the very wonderful, pleasing attitude, distribute food to all the devotees, asking if they want more. This is the way which we reciprocate with each other. Prasadam. One way is prasadam. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "It is not proper for a sannyasi to eat such a variety of foodstuff. If he does, how can he control his senses?" This is definitely a problem. Everywhere you go, they're having feasts. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not accept the food that had already been served, Advaita Acharya said, "Please give up your concealment. I know what you are, and I know the confidential meaning of your accepting the sannyas order." Advaita Acharya thus requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to eat and give up juggling words. The Lord replied, "I certainly cannot eat so much food." Advaita Acharya then requested the Lord to simply accept the prasadam without pretense. If he could not eat at all, the balance would be left on the plate. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I will not be able to eat so much food, and it is not the duty of a sannyasi to leave remnants." In this connection, Advaita Acharya referred to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eating at Jagannath Puri. Lord Jagannath and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are identical. Advaita Acharya pointed out that at Jagannath Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ate 54 times, and each time he ate many hundreds of pots of food. Advaita Acharya said, "The amount of food that three people can eat does not constitute even a morsel for you. In proportion to that, these edibles are not even five morsels of food for you, my dear Lord." Advaita continued, "By my great fortune, you have just come to my home. Please do not juggle words. Just begin eating and do not talk." Upon saying this, Advaita Acharya supplied water to the two lords so they could wash their hands. The two lords then sat down, smiling, and began to eat the prasadam. Nityananda Prabhu said, "I have undergone fasting for 3 days continuously. Today, I hoped to break my fast." Although Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking that the quantity of food was enormous, Nityananda Prabhu, on the contrary, thought it not even a morsel. He had been fasting for 3 days and had greatly hoped to break his fast on that day. Indeed, he said, although I am invited to eat by Advaita Acharya, today also appears to be a fast. So small a quantity of foodstuffs will not even fill half my belly. Advaita Acharya replied, "Sir, you are a mendicant traveling on pilgrimages. Sometimes you eat fruits and roots, and sometimes you simply go on fasting. I am a poor brahmana, and you have come to my home. Please be satisfied with whatever little foodstuff you have received, and give up your greedy mentality." Lord Nityananda replied, "Whatever I may be, you have invited me. Therefore, you must supply me as much as I want to eat." His divine grace, Advaita Acharya, after hearing the statement of Nityananda Prabhu, took the opportunity presented by the joking words and spoke to him as follows. Advaita Acharya said, "My dear sir, you are a reject Paramahansa. You have accepted the renounced order of life just to fill up your belly. I can understand that your business is to give trouble to Brahmins." Advaita Acharya accused Nityananda Prabhu, saying, "You can eat 10 to 20 manas of rice. I am a poor brahmana. Now, how shall I get so much rice? Whatever you have, though it be a palmful of rice, please eat it and get up. Don't show your madness and strew the remnants of food here, there, and everywhere." In this way, Nityananda Prabhu and Lord Chaitanya ate and talked with Advaita Acharya jokingly. After eating half of each vegetable preparation given to him, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu abandoned it and went on to the next. As soon as half the vegetables in the pot were finished, Advaita Acharya filled it up again. In this way, as the Lord finished half of a preparation, Advaita Acharya again filled it up and again filled it up. After filling a pot with vegetables, Advaita Acharya requested them to eat more. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "How much more can I go on eating?" Advaita Acharya said, "Please not give up whatever I have already given you. Now whatever I am giving, you may eat half and leave half." In this way, by submitting various humble requests, Advaita Acharya made Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda eat. Thus, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fulfilled all the desires of Advaita Acharya. Again, Nityananda Prabhu jokingly said, "My belly is not yet filled up. Please take away your foodstuff. I have not taken the least of it." After saying this, Nityananda Prabhu took a handful of rice and threw it on the floor in front of him as if he were angry. When two or four pieces of the thrown rice touched his body, Advaita Acharya began to dance in various ways with the rice still stuck to his body. When the rice thrown by Nityananda Prabhu touched his body, Advaita Acharya thought himself purified by the touch of remnants thrown by Paramahansa Nityananda. Therefore, he began dancing. Advaita Acharya jokingly said, "My dear Nityananda, I have invited you, and indeed I have received the results. You have no fixed caste or dynasty. By nature, you are a madman. To make me a madman like yourself, you have thrown the remnants of your food at me. You did not even fear the fact that I am a brahmana." Nityananda Prabhu replied, "These are the remnants of food left by Lord Krishna. If you take them to be ordinary elements, you have committed an offense." Srila Nityananda continued, "If you invite at least 100 sannyasis to your home and feed them sumptuously, your offense will be nullified." Advaita Acharya replied, "I shall never again invite another sannyasi, for it is the sannyasi who has spoiled all my brahminical shmiti regulations." After this, Advaita Acharya made the lords wash their hands and mouths. He then took them to a nice bed and made them lie down to take rest. Sri Advaita Acharya fed the two lords cloves and cardamom mixed with tulsi flowers. Thus there was a good flavor within their mouths. Sri Advaita Acharya then smeared the bodies of the lords with sandalwood pulp and then placed very fragrant flower garlands on their chests. When the lord lay down to rest on the bed, Advaita Acharya wanted to massage his legs, but the lord was very hesitant and spoke as follows to Advaita Acharya. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Advaita, you have made me dance in various ways. Now give up this path. Go with Mukunda Haridas and accept your lunch." Thereupon Advaita Acharya took prasad with Mukunda and Haridas, and they all wholeheartedly ate as much as they desired. When all the people of Shantipur heard that Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was staying there, they all immediately came to see his lotus feet. As soon as it was evening, Advaita Acharya began the congregational chanting. He even began to dance himself, and the Lord saw the performance. When Advaita Acharya began to dance, Nityananda Prabhu began dancing behind him. Haridas, being very displeased, also began dancing behind him. Advaitacharya said, "My dear friends, what shall I say? Today I have received the highest transcendental pleasure. After many, many days, Lord Krishna is in my house." Advaitacharya led the Sankirtan party with great pleasure and sang this verse. There was a manifestation of ecstatic perspiration, shivering, raised hairs, tears in the eyes, and sometimes thundering and bellowing. While dancing, Advaitacharya would sometimes turn around and around and catch the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He then began to speak as follows. Sri Advaitacharya would say, "Many days you've escaped my bluffing. Now I have you in my home and I will keep you bound up." So speaking, Advaitacharya performed congregational chanting with great pleasure for 3 hours that night and danced all the time. When Advaitacharya danced in that way, Lord Chaitanya felt ecstatic love for Krishna. And because of his separation, the waves and flames of love increased. Being agitated by the ecstasy, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu suddenly fell on the ground. Seeing this, Advaitacharya stopped dancing. When Mukunda saw the ecstasy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he understood the feelings of the Lord and began to sing many stanzas, augmenting the force of the Lord's ecstasy. Advaitacharya raised the body of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to help him dance, but the Lord, upon hearing the stanzas sung by Mukunda, could not be held due to his bodily symptoms. We can stop there. So, Sri Advaitacharya ki. This is an auspicious day. And as Sri Advaitacharya is one of the members of the Panchatattva, and the purpose of the Panchatattva is to distribute the fruits of love of God enjoyed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this is a very appropriate day for the devotees to pray to Srila Advaitacharya that we can also help the Lord in distributing the fruits of Sri Krishna Sankirtan Yagya. So we'll conclude our evening program here. Tomorrow is Saturday. So did we come to a decision on who was I discussing with? Is Prabhu here? Prabhu Das? We were discussing that if tomorrow is raining, then we would have our program here and we would begin the Amazon story, if the devotees wanted to hear that. How many of you heard that story? One, two, three. So, we have to see what the weather's like. What do you think, Atmaram Prabhu? If it rains, we can have a program in the temple here? Because Pratapna Prabhu wanted to have me tell the preaching in the Amazon, which of course took place a few years ago, 2 years ago, and it was in the BTG. But we have a diary, which we kept, of the day-by-day activities on the Amazon, which gives you a little bit more complete understanding of that Sankirtan. So if the weather is not so good tomorrow evening, then instead of going on Harinam, we'll tell the Amazon Sankirtan story here. Although we're supposed to tell it in April, I was thinking that if we do it at that big theater and there's a lot of karmis there, the devotees won't be able to hear. So what do you think? Huh? Huh? Do both. How do we do both? Go on Sankirtan early? Do what? Or tell it again in April. Oh. I've told it 1,000 times. I don't know how I keep telling it. I can tell it's sleeping. Anyway, it's a very nice story because it just helps us understand how merciful Lord Chaitanya is in delivering people all over the world. So anyway, we'll discuss with some of the senior men tomorrow, see what happens. But there is a possibility that we'll do that tomorrow night. So stay tuned, and we'll let you know. Shri Advaitacharya ki. Shri Advaitacharya's appearance day ki. Shri Shitai Gaur Pimanandi. Hari Hari Bo. Namaste Sarasati Devam Gauravani Pacharine Nirvisesa Sanyavadi Astachade Satarine
Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakti Vrinda Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Chant the holy name. Nam Gaya Bore.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Thank you.
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Bolo bolo, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare.